your Bibles and turn to Job chapter number 32. Job 32. I call my sermon tonight, Opinions for the Young at Heart. Opinions for the Young at Heart. Job chapter 32, once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 1. Last Sunday night, I spoke to the young people, and it was a sermon, basically, that was to young people about their skill with people. Now, tonight, I want to go to the other end of the spectrum. Those that are in that last maybe one-third of their life, I want to talk to you for a little while. Job 32, verse number 1, would you stand with me real quick? I'm going to read this out loud, and I'm going to read from verse 1. I think I'm going to make it all the way through verse 10, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the passage and then show you a little something. The Bible says, "So these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also, against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer, and yet had condemned Job. And Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. And Elihu said that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men. Then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Tonight, I'd like to speak to those that have a few more years than most, some opinions about that era of life in which you find yourself. Let me pray for us. Father, help me tonight to help somebody. Lord, the sermon, I know for a fact, will be good for many that would be in their senior years. But many are very, very close to it, and everybody will be there eventually. So this lesson is good for all of us, from the youngest child to the oldest adult. All of us can learn from what's taught tonight. It does not just apply to a senior citizen. It applies to those who want to learn how to live right. Bless us with thy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Most people know the story of Job. They know a lot about the story of Job. Job had gone through an awful lot. I'm not going to go into it. Job had gone through a time where he lost his family, and I'm talking about to death. Job had lost his flocks and his herds. He had lost his money, his businesses. He had lost the servants that served with him. At one point, he lost the loyalty of his wife, and he lost his health. When you look at his age, I feel like Job, at least one part of the story of Job had probably approached that age that we would consider retirement age. I know that his kids had kids, which made him probably, of course, a grandparent. And here's what happened. Three of his so-called friends advised him about the troubles that he went through. Their names were Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. But their take was that the struggles that Job had been through is because he was not right with God. That was a little bit offensive. The Bible says that when the devil was looking to be hard on someone, God said, check out my servant Job. He is a righteous man. He's a good man. So when Job's three friends came and said, your problem is you're not right with God, their take on it was not good. That was not the case. Hey, because someone's going through a rough time, that does not mean they're not right with God. I mean, look what Jesus went through, and he was God. And so hardship is not necessarily a sign of someone being backslidden or in sin. Oh, now, on the other side of that coin, hardship may be a sign that you're not right with God. You could think about that for a moment. If you know there's sin in your life and you're going through hardship, then you want to say, God may be judging me. Huh? So be it. It's possible. But in this case, that wasn't the case. These three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they kind of made a bad judgment call about Job. But then Job had another friend. His name was Elihu. You don't really hear a lot about him, but we just read his name two or three times, and there's a portion of Scripture that's attributed to his analyzation of Job's situation. And what happened is this true friend, Elihu, comes along, and he had heard the other men being hard on Job. And in verse number 4, Elihu said, I had respect because everybody else involved in this setting is older than me. So he said, I didn't think I should say anything. He said, I'm younger than you. And in verse number 6, he said, I was afraid and durst not show you my opinion. He said, I was kind of afraid to share my opinion because I'm not there yet. I'm not as old as you. So I wasn't sure that it was right for me to speak. He did say in verse number 7, Elihu said, I think older people are wise and they should speak and they should be respected and they should be listened to. He said, that's what I was doing. I was listening to you three men and Job, and you three men are older than me. And but then he said, but I got to realizing in verse 8, he said, God can give his spirit and he can give inspiration to someone that's young. It's not that the only wise people are those people that are 90 years of age. And that's what Elihu said. He said, and God also told me, not all great men are wise men. You know, there are some men that are great in an area of life, but they're not biblically wise. I mean, I could tell you some men that in the business world, they're great in what they do, but they don't go to the right kind of church. And there are a whole lot of areas in life where they're not wise, but they're great at something. And Elihu, he said, not all great men are necessarily wise men. And then he came to Job and he said, Job, well, I listened to these other guys talking to you, and they're your age and older, but I heard what they said, and I was a little fearful to say anything because I'm a little younger, and I'm not there yet. I've not reached that era of life, he said, but I realized that God could give someone that's not in that era of life some wisdom, and he then began to try to help Job. And I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he did. I've never been retired. I'm 59. I'm not totally there yet. There are a lot of people in here that are real wise in a lot of areas, and a lot of people in here that are older than me, and I respect that. I am going to give you some opinions tonight. Because I think there are a few opinions that maybe God could give a preacher that loved his people that would help you, even though I didn't have experience in a certain area. You know, here at our church, we have a ministry called the Young at Heart Ministry, and you have to be the age 55 or above. So if you're 55 and you're in this ministry, you're one of the kids in the ministry. You're at the low end of that age. But here in America, you know, when you hit 65 years of age, that's probably the most traditional target age for retirement. I just want to say some things. Where this falls with who, I'm not trying to necessarily dogmatically apply it to any one age bracket, but if you all just listen for a little while, like I told you last week, I really wanted to talk to our young people about people and getting along with people. Tonight's sermon may be a little like that. It's not about getting along with people. It's about getting along when you get a little older in life, that last one-third of your life. So it's going to be down to earth, very practical. If our ministry called Young at Heart starts at 55, you know, you could have another 30 or 40 years of life after that. That's very possible. So I think there's some things you ought to be careful of as you live your life, especially in that age bracket. You know, there are different age brackets where there are things that are unique to your age bracket that you need to be careful of. I want to talk to you. I don't have Social Security. I'm not retired. I don't plan to retire for many, many years, but I'd like to help you. So listen to me for a few minutes if you would. First thing I want to do is this. If you're, if you're entering those years and you figure out what that means, those years, but could I recommend this? Keep dating your spouse. Keep dating your spouse. Did you know that dating is not just for young people? Dating is for marriage. I really think that God wants, no matter how old you get, I think you need to keep having some fun together. I think you need to keep dating. I think you keep them the way you got them. And who is it that could say just because you're in your senior years that you're supposed to stop having fun together? I don't think that's a good idea. I think that if when you reach that stage, now it doesn't always have to cost a lot of money, but I really think you ought to keep on doing some fun things, and yeah, I think you ought to literally go out on dates. I fear that I watch people's attitudes, and as if they're married and they grow older, if they're not careful, their life becomes stale and dry and boring, almost morbid. Hey, keep dating. So, and might I say to every married couple in here, keep dating. Keep dating. Secondly, hey, keep coming to church faithfully as you grow older. I want you to know there is still much to learn. You have not arrived. You say, but Pastor, my mama, she was pregnant and she walked into church with me every week of her pregnancy. I was in church prior to being born. She popped me in the nursery the week after I was born. I've been in church all my life. Well, I'm glad you have. But I don't care how old you are and how long you've been in church and how much you know, you still need to learn and you still need to grow. So if you're in that last one-third of life, don't get to thinking that you have it all. Not only that, you need the fellowship. You need to come to church and get the fellowship. You need the encouragement. Fellowship can be very encouraging, and you just need to be faithful. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Listen, I don't think you are ever too young to come to church, nor are you ever too old for church. Now you say, why would you say that? I know people that say, well, when I was younger, I went to church all the time. I'll just hang around the house now. You need to stop hanging around the house three times a week and get your carcass down to the church house because that's what you're supposed to do. You say, well, you think I should be faithful to the day I die? Yeah, the best your health will allow it. You ought to be faithful till the day you die. And after you die, we want you to come one last time. Amen. I'm serious. We'll plunk your body right down front here and we'll have a funeral service for you. And so, as you grow older in your life, don't phase church out. And I have to tell you, I've watched people do that. It's almost like it's the senior citizen rite of passage. Somehow they think, well, I've been coming for a long time. I don't have to come anymore. I thank God we have people in this church that are in their 80s that are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and they're involved, and you're doing the right thing. I will promise you there are people out there at that age that don't go to church, and they're bored. They don't want to live anymore. They don't like life. Why? They phased out what life is. Life is about Jesus Christ and serving God and living it. So, if you're married and you're getting older, keep dating. Keep coming to church. Thirdly, keep yourself as physically active as you can and in a safe way. Keep yourself physically active in a safe way. Continue to watch your health. Don't give up on your health. Don't give in to poor health. Part of that's an attitude. Yes, sir. I've watched people. You get a little older, the health thing gets a little tougher. the hardships become a little more frequent, keep fighting the battle for health. Never give up on it. Fight it to the end. And you say, why do you say that? Again, I've pastored thousands of people and for a long time, and I've watched people reach a certain stage. They face a few illnesses and they just begin to give up. And I'm thinking, they died long before they should have. They became bedridden before they had to. They became shut in when they didn't have to. They just kind of gave into it and they stopped fighting. Folks, fight to stay healthy, if for no other reason, so you can serve Jesus. But I was recently counseling someone that had some health issues within a home. I said, you need to fight for your health for the sake of your spouse. Fight for your health for the sake of your kids. Don't you want to see your grandkids and watch them grow up a little bit? Fight for that. But when you reach that last one-third of life, watch your health. Did you know that it's never too late to change certain things about your health? Never too late to do that. Not at all. You can maybe you need to take up there's sports. You say, like what? I was thinking of boxing. No, I'm not. I'm thinking about things like you get plenty of that in marriage. There's a reason why there are a lot of men that maybe have a little gray hair on top that golf. It can be you walk when you golf. There's some exercise. You're out of doors. You don't have to play 18 holes. You don't have to play 9. You can go down and play putt-putt golf. But you can golf. You can walk. There's exercise that you can do. And so work. Stay active and stay physically active so that you can stay alive and stay functioning. My college professor, actually my college president, Dr. Wendell Evans, he had a statement that he made in his leadership class, and it was about your mind and the use of your mind in your education. But he used to say, if you don't use it, you will lose it. And he said, if those of you that have learned a lot, you can have all sorts of stuff in your head, but if you will not use it, it'll get lost in there. And you won't have quick access to it mentally. He said the best way to keep something is to be giving it away because that keeps it fresh. Well, I like that. I like that mentally. And let me say to everybody to who I'm preaching tonight, if you don't use that thing, you'll lose it. The same thing is true about your body physically. If you don't try to use it, you will lose it. So keep moving. Keep trying. Maybe you can't run a mile, then run a half. If you can't run a half, run a quarter of a mile. You say, I can't run at all, then walk fast. You say, I have a wheelchair, then spin it around the block every once in a while. But keep on moving. Why? Well, this is all a part of living that last part of life. Next, keep a level head about your physical activity. Keep a level head about your physical activity. There may come a point when you must face you can't do all that you once could. You say, that's kind of humiliating. I know, but everybody goes through it. Everybody goes through it. Look, to me, an 18-year-old does not need a riding lawnmower. An 18-year-old needs a push lawnmower. I'll never forget. We grew up mowing 4 acres, and we had a couple old beat-up push mowers that we mowed with. When the last of our family moved out, my dad went out and bought the most beautiful riding mower I've ever seen in my life. And I'm thinking, I thought we were too poor. He said, no, you were too poor in character. You needed to push that mower. We heated with wood at our house. I mean, we went out and we cut wood to throw it in the wood-burning furnace, and again, buddy, the air conditioning and the big furnace came in right after us kids were gone. It was amazing what I seen happen. But let me tell you, an 18-year-old, he can use that push mower. Men, get your riding mower if you're going to get out there in your yard. I think you've earned it. But if nothing else, watch your health. Don't push. Now, I think you need to keep your body moving, but don't push your body to the point of damaging it or hurting. You know, once you, in that last one-third of life, when you start breaking the major bones of your body, It is going to slow your life down in an incredible way. Now, I know you say, Pastor, you've never been there. What do you know about this? Well, I tell you what I know. I know that I've pastored a lot of people in that age bracket. And I've been to the hospital, and I've talked to their spouses, and sometimes we don't accept that we're not 18 anymore. You're no less of a man. You're no less of a woman. You're no less of an adult. Matter of fact, you're showing wisdom if you're cautious because you want to last a long time. Your balance may not be as good. Listen, don't destroy your ability to serve God by being unwise with your body. Go for long time service. If we were up north, I would tell you this. Look, an 18-year-old boy ought to shovel snow with a shovel. Now, here in North Carolina, let me explain. Snow is this white stuff. It looks like little cotton balls, and it falls from the sky, and it's cold. And you shouldn't eat yellow cotton balls. That's just some things I've learned through the years. But look, I think a young man, let him shovel with a shovel. If we were up north, I'd say, get you a snowblower. They can be fun. You can get back at your neighbors and things with those things. But I would say, men, you're better off being safe. I couldn't tell you how many men I have actually heard and known that when they were up in the north in a snow country, they're out shoveling snow and have heart attacks because their body just wouldn't take it anymore. And you say, I feel like less of a man. You need to stay alive. You need to keep serving God. God wants you to be wise. So keep a level head physically. Number five, in regard to your employment, your job. If you have a job and you plan to keep the job, I'd recommend you're careful. It's usually when you're in that stage, you better be real careful changing jobs. You say, why? Most companies are not in a hurry to hire someone that's in their last stages. You say, Pastor, you're hurting my feelings. I'm not trying to. I'm just telling you, they're not usually looking to hire men at that age. So if you have a job, and it's a good job, and you kind of want to keep a job, you might want to keep that one. Because when you hit the job market and they see the color of your hair, or that there is no hair, they may give the job to someone younger. And you say, that's not right. Well, you can say that if you want to, but it's not going to make a big difference. So change really at that age needs to be a little more rare. Try to hang on to what you have, and if you can, make it do. Hey, and sometimes, let me tell you something else. I think sometimes once a man retires or a lady retires, you might want some time off completely, but I might even recommend that you go get a little part-time job to keep yourself busy, have a little extra income coming in if you need it, so you can keep yourself going. It'll also keep life from getting boring. I will tell you this. I've watched many people retire. Men, they said, well, I'm going to wax my car. I'm going to organize my tools. What are you going to do after the third week? And be honest, you're going to be looking for something to do. Because if you've worked all your life, sitting around and staring at each other's varicose veins is going to eventually get boring. So sometimes you retire, and you can retire from your primary job, but you go get a little something extra, and it may put a little spending money in your pocket, but it also will keep you busy and active and moving, and it'll make you a part of society. Okay, so I said this, if you're married, keep dating. I said, keep coming to church and faithfully. I said, keep physically active, but be wise about it. Then I said, keep a level head about your physical activity. Then keep your job, or be careful changing jobs because it can be harder at that age to get a job. Then I want to say this. If you're married, earlier I said date. Now I want to say, keep your marriage strong. Keep your marriage strong. I've learned there's some stages in life that are harder on marriages than other stages. One of them, well, the first couple of years of marriage can be very difficult because you're adjusting to one another. you know, you were in love and infatuated with one another, and before you got married, you did not know how bad he could smell at times, and you did not know that the only thing she could cook was that one meal that she baited you with. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, and then, so the first couple of years of marriage, it's a real adjustment time. And then when you start having kids, that can be a difficult time for marriage. When your kids become teenagers, that can be a difficult time. When the kids grow up and leave the home and you have the empty nest syndrome, that can be a difficult time. But you know what? I've also learned that when you go into the retirement stage, it can be hard on a marriage. You say, why? Before retirement, maybe the husband went to work all day, and in some cases the wife. Or maybe the wife stayed home and the husband was gone all day. But you were not together all day long, 7 days a week. I've watched people retire and they're at home all day long, together all day, and their marriage just started going haywire. And they come see me and said, well, what's going on here? I said, man and woman were not made to be together all day long every day. It can be a little bit hard on you. I mean, when you were apart, you had time to work through it, relax, chill out, gather some different things and add them to the marriage. But when you are suddenly with each other, it can be hard. I, for instance, I enjoy taking a family vacation. And we will take a family vacation and be together for 7 days, my entire family. And I'm pretty glad when it's over. I mean, I like kids, but grandkids, they're great to have around. The best part about them is they're going home with their mom and dad. And you all know, I would say most of you that have a routine in life for work, you take your vacation. Sometimes it just feels good to be back in the rhythm of life. But when you lose that rhythm and you retire, and when you find yourself with your husband or your wife all day long, it can be hard because there's more opportunity for differences and disagreements, and there's a readjustment in a way. You must readjust to being around each other like that. So just keep your marriage strong. Let me tell you this. When, you know, I think sometimes we're rearing our children and, you know, they're growing up, and you say, well, you know, I can't wait till my kids grow up and leave home and it'll get much easier. What it does is the responsibility just shifts. I'm not sure how much easier it gets. It shifts. It's one thing when your kids are right in your home and you can look at them and see them and you know they're safe. But then when they can drive their own car and they live out elsewhere and they live in another state, there's a whole new level of concern that goes on. But I do want to tell you this. As you grow older, do not let your grown children destroy your marriage. The pressure of grown children. And any of you here that have grown children, you know exactly what I'm saying. The pressure, don't let the grown children affect your marriage to the point that you're miserable in your marriage. My opinion is you and your spouse pay the price to get where you're at. Stay happily married. No matter what those kids throw your direction, what knucklehead thing they do. And those of you who have little ones right now, I'm going to promise you the day's coming where you're going to say to your spouse or your spouse to you, we taught them better. They know better than that. Which you're going to say, we gave them a good education. I taught him not to do that. I taught her not to do that. You're going to be there, but whatever you do, don't let the kids destroy your marriage. And there are multiple reasons why your marriage is important, but let me tell you this also. You really want to go into that last era of life and it be happy. Okay, let me go on. I was going to say a couple more, but that'd be a lie. Okay, next, and I'll be quick. At this stage in life, keep your debt down. Keep your debt down. We're talking about financially. I think at that last one-third of life, you should be trying to pay things off, not going deeper in debt. I think it's a good idea to try to enjoy those remaining years, both you've got some health. You want to enjoy it. You want to enjoy it physically. You want to enjoy it financially. And so when you get there, you want to spend the first two-thirds of your life working hard, investing, making it happen. Work real hard on that last one-third of, let's start capping it all off. Let's start finishing it off so that you don't have a lot of debt when you get older. And then I wouldn't want to recommend this. I was talking to one of the good men of our church, and we were talking about giving. And he said, you know, preacher, he said, God has taken such good care to me. He said, I've never wanted to cheat God. He said, I always felt like my tithe and offering to God had something to do with my retirement years, and I always wanted to protect my relationship with God in that situation. So let me tell you this. Don't create debt with God. If there's one person you want to stay current with as you're approaching those years, it's God. And this may sound real religious or something like the preacher would say, but let me tell you something. If you are a little shaky about going into the retirement years and it's scary and you're wondering how you're going to do it, God can take care of you, but you got to do what He told you to do. You say, well, I've got my Social Security and I've got the promise from the government that I have that. Okay. I hope that that all works out. It has for lots of people for a long time. But if you can trust the United States government, how about trust in God? Amen. And I don't know what they're going to do in regard to that promise. I hope they keep it. Which brings me to my next point. Keep working on guarding and protecting your savings. You can call that your retirement, whatever you want to call it. At this age, I would be careful. Watch out for get-rich-quick schemes. You say, I'm right at retirement age, and I got a few bucks in the bank, and had this opportunity come along. Be careful. You worked hard. I'm not saying you can't take a few risks, but you do want to be careful. You don't want to lose it. And in most cases, those of you that are not there yet, you hear about this thing called Social Security. So you know, in most cases, Social Security is not enough. So you need to figure out how to be saving above and beyond Social Security. But to those of you that are there, it's never too late to become cautious. It's never too late to start savings. You know, there's a way to save no matter where you're at in life. So be careful. A few more, and I'll hurry, I promise. Next, if you have life insurance, keep it current. Keep it current. And here's why I say that. When you were younger, your life insurance premium would have been cheaper because you were less risk. And so, if you locked into that cheaper premium, and now you've had that policy for 15, 18 years, keep it current. Because if you default and you go back to get insurance, your premium is going to be outrageous. You say, why? You're high risk. You're closer to the end of the journey than the beginning. And the closer you are to the beginning of the journey, the less risk you are, so the cheaper your life insurance. So if you have life insurance, I'd recommend you keep it up. Don't default. Don't cancel it. And that way you keep the cheaper premium. All right? Let me go on. Number 10, keep serving God. Keep serving God. You might not be able to do what you once could, but you can do something. And you ought to want to do that. Don't stop living, especially spiritually. Don't retire on God. Again, you've all heard me say this. I think as we get older and we get in that last one-third of life and maybe at the retirement stage, I think it'd give you a wonderful opportunity to do some more for God. I mean, you know, you wax the car 10 times and you organize your tools and, you organized all your fabric or your clothes and rearrange them and got them color coded in your lady's big closet, you know, and hey, but after you run out of some of those things, figure out how to get down to the church and serve God a little extra. I think God, we've got a handful of people that are in those years. They make this church happen. I mean, they're just here and helping and involved and I thank God for it. So keep serving God. And let me tell you something that happens, and this is what I'm told. When people get to their retirement years, they begin to feel unneeded, kind of unnecessary. Matter of fact, I think they very humbly feel like, you know, I can't do what I once could, and, you know, does anybody need me? Let me tell you something. The devil could depress you with that. And here's something you need to hear. If you're alive, God has a purpose for you. You see, as long as you're alive, that means God has something for you to do. Now let's go do it. You'll know when God's done with you. You'll be right down here in front of this pulpit in a box. But until then, keep on going. Keep on going. Let me give you two more points and then I'll cut it off here. May I say next, keep yourself humble. Keep yourself humble. When you reach that last one-third of life, you've experienced a lot. You've seen a lot. You've been through a lot. And you're probably relatively smart about a lot of things. But don't be so smart that you're dangerous. Did you know that at every age we have to still contend with our pride? And we still have to contend with arrogance? And so, stay humble. I would tell you that if you're not careful, you could become overbearing. So hey, as you grow older, keep a servant's attitude. Don't become a critic. Sometimes when you're well trained and you're good at something, that can get out of hand. You might even have the answers, but because you're so arrogant or so full of pride, people don't receive the answers from you. Not because they're not the right answers, you're just the wrong person to give them. And that's just an attitude thing. So keep yourself humble. I'll give you one last thing and I'll be done. Keep a sweet spirit. Plan this. Plan to have a sweet spirit. Plan to have a good attitude. Men, don't become a grumpy old man. Ladies, don't become a bitter old woman. Don't be hard to please and hard to get along with. And listen, if life has been hard, be extra careful that you don't go into your senior years being a harsh, mean, nasty, hateful, hard to please, hard to get along with, nobody wants to be around you person. If we could go to some of the healthcare providers here, those that have worked with hospice, there's usually two kinds of people out there. People that are as sweet and kind and gentle, and then the other end, mean, hateful, and impossible. I cut my preaching teeth as a young man in the jails and in the nursing homes. And I used to, as a young man, I would go to the nursing home and I thought, I would go to one room and you would have thought I was their grandchild. They love me and we got along. I could go to the very next room and you step in and I think, and I'm thinking, I don't know you. I thought you were going to bite me. I didn't do anything to you. And I mean just griping and complaining and hateful. And when I was a 16-year-old preacher boy, I looked at both and I said, when I'm old, I want to be a sweet old man. I want to be a good person. I'm a pretty quick forgiver in life. And I'll tell you, you attack me, I'm not attacking back. I'm planning on loving my enemies. And I'll tell you one reason why I feel so strongly about that. When I was 16, I seen mean, grumpy old people. And I said to myself, I don't want to be there. I don't want my last days to be like that. Mrs. Owens, I think most of you know that she serves at a nursing home in this area. And I'm out there every week of my life. There are people that I love to be around out there. And there are others that I avoid like a plague. And I'm pretty good at putting up with jerks. I've been a pastor for a long time. But there are some that I go, well, I don't want to be around that. I mean, and you all have seen it. Hey, as you grow older, don't be bitter and hateful. You say, well, how can you do that? I'd make sure you're not bitter now. Because usually what happens is you just become more of what you were just prior. to hitting that stage. So you might say, well, I plan to stay bitter and nasty until I'm about 75, then I'm going to change. Probably not. Might be a good idea to attend to it now. Let me do what us old people do. I'm going to repeat myself. Keep dating your spouse. Keep coming to church faithfully. Keep physically active. Keep a level head about your physical activity. If you're going to have a job, I'd keep what you have. It can be hard to find one because job change at the older age is a little harder. Keep your marriage strong. Keep your debt down. Work on protecting your finances. Keep your life insurance up. Keep serving God. Keep yourself humble. And keep a sweet spirit. Last week, I talked to the younger part of our church. This week, maybe those that are a little more mature and been around a little longer. But no matter which you category you fall into, if you were here last week, everything that I said to the young people about getting along with people is good for all of us. And young people, what I said to those that are our elders and our seniors, what I just told you, it's very good for you if you are listening. You need to get involved to be successful at that age too.